Father, we just want to honor you, Lord God. We want to praise and exalt you, Lord, in this place. And we just want to declare, Lord, that there's only one God, and it's you, Lord Jesus. And we honor you this morning, God. We exalt you, Lord. We praise you, because you are worthy of all, in Jesus' name. I just want to ask you, if there's anyone with a word or a picture they believe is from the Lord?
Yes, Father, I thank you that today in this place you want to heal people, and you're just showing me a picture of it's our bodies, but we've got this layer of skin over it, and it's a layer of old skin. It's been damaged by sun, and there's warts on it, and it's unhealthy. But then you come with the blood of Christ and you wash away the skin, and all of a sudden we've got a new skin. It's like a 1-year-old baby skin, renewed and healthy. And Father, I just want to ask today, if any of you are trusting the Lord for healing, whether it's emotional or physical, that you'll just lift up your hands and that we can pray with you. And yes, Father, we thank you today that you come and you make all things new. And we thank you that when you died on the cross, by the blood of Christ, you restored everything. And that we as a church can come and stand in faith for complete healing, Father. I specifically feel that there's emotional hurts, Father, that people have not dealt with. And today you want to restore their hearts, Father. You want to restore those relationships that's been hurt in the past, Father. We thank you for healing in this place in the name of Jesus.
Exodus 2:20, verse 2, and God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and out of the house of bondage. And I just agree with what James was saying, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And I also think that God just wants to come and break chains and set people free this morning.
I just felt when we were worshipping, God is wanting to release us in victory. And I just saw, like, all of us having flags in our hands. And God is giving us white flags to wave, and it's a sign of victory. And we must step into that. We must take the flag. And but yeah, He wants us to walk in the victory that He's defeated the devil, in Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you for your tangible presence here this morning, Lord. God, thank you that you first loved us, God. Thank you for your love, Lord. God, thank you for these words, Lord, of encouragement, that you want to take us out of Egypt, Lord, into the promised land. God, thank you that where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom, Lord. And in your freedom, chains are broken. Sicknesses are healed. You have overcome death on the cross, Lord. And we just thank you for that. You've overcome sin. You've overcome death, Lord God. You've overcome all these things. And we just come to you this morning. And we exalt you, Lord God. We exalt you, Lord, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we just declare there's only one God, Lord. It's you, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the only God. You are the only way. You are the truth, God. And we just declare that you are good, and that your goodness endures forever, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for your love, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness, Lord. God, thank you that it's your kindness that leads to repentance, Lord. God, thank you that we can know that in you, the fruit that manifests in our lives are love and peace and joy and faithfulness and kindness and goodness and self-control, that we can know that when we are in you, these things manifest through our lives, because that is who you are, Lord. And I pray, God, that as we come to you, that we will become more and more like you, that we become holy, because you are holy, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that you said that the devil will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we did not love our lives unto the end. And this morning, we just surrender completely to you. in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. It's really amazing to have God's presence here and to have this prophecy, the word of prophecy here, because the word just confirmed everything that I want to say this morning. So I'm very grateful to that. And I just want to speak to the cell leaders quickly. For those of you who are here, on our meeting Wednesday night, we spoke about communication, and I realized afterwards I missed it. Our communication didn't come across that well. So I just want to say sorry about that. But I just also believe that we want to communicate. But if you want to be informed with what is happening in the church, come and pray with us. Because we speak about what is happening at intercession. We pray these things through on Friday mornings at 10 to 6 and before church as well. So for the cell leaders specifically and anyone else who want to pray, if you want to know what's happening in church, come and pray with us. We talk and we pray about all the things that God is saying to us. And then I just want to ask you as well, the George Barna Institute says that according to their statistics that 80% of all people who are Christians became Christians, 80% became Christians before the age of 14. So we want you to also pray for our children's church. If you have a calling, I believe we put so much effort with the older people. We put 80% of our effort in here, but we should be putting all our effort in with the children's church, because that's the biggest return that we will get is with the children. So if you have a heart, please go and pray about that. If you have children yourself, I just believe that you actually should get involved to learn how to deal with children as well. We teach them how to worship, how to praise God, how to pray. We've had really amazing breakthroughs with Children's Church. So if any of you are here who have a calling or you just believe you can contribute, even if it's just a helper every 6 weeks, we need all hands on deck to equip our children to come to that place that God has called us to be. But I'm not preaching this morning about children. I'm preaching about giants. And I'm going to say a few things that might be controversial. But I want to say that the scripture I'm going to use can be interpreted in four different ways. So I'm just going to talk that through as well. So when I especially speak about the Nephilim, don't get upset because I'm talking heresy. I just want to bring a case that it could be something different than what we experience. But in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 6, I didn't put all the scripture up there, but I'm just going to read it to you. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now verse 6 says, now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. And this is referring to Moses and in the time of Moses. And what I've discovered is that there are things in the Old Testament that happen to be examples for us as believers as well. And this is why we have to still read the Old Testament and the examples or the experiences that they had, we can apply to our own lives. And the Exodus story, we can also look as a template for salvation. It's not how salvation works, but we can see it as a template for salvation. Just for example, it talks about they were baptized in Moses. And Moses was the man that brought the law to Israel. He was the man that instituted the Passover as well. And you can assign to him the blood. He's also a type of who Jesus was. In Christ, we have salvation. And the Israelites in that time, in Moses, they had salvation. He took them out of Egypt into the promised land, out of bondage into freedom. So Moses here, I don't want to go too much into it, represents the blood. And then the cloud. And the cloud here represents the Holy Spirit. When they went out of bondage, they were following the cloud by day. and the fire by night. And it was the Holy Spirit that they were leading. And then it says, and they were baptized in the sea. They had to go through the Red Sea to go through to the other side. And we can interpret it for us that we have to believe. We have to be born again. And if you look at Acts 2 verse 38, Peter preaches this first sermon. 40 days before that, he was denying Christ. Then the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him. And now he is standing there and he's preaching the sermon. And 3,000 men got saved with the sermon that he preached. And when he was preaching, they were cut to the heart. And they said to him, but Peter, what must we do? And he said to them, you must repent. You must be baptized for the forginess of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And repent is metanoia, turning around. I cannot live a lifestyle where I still drink and smoke and fight. I've got to go the other road and walk according to the Lord. And that is in the blood. When back to Moses as well, the people who got saved were the people who had blood on the doors. So they were not saved by the things they've done. They were saved because of the blood on the doors. So they were saved because of the blood. We are saved because of the blood of Christ. On the cross, he paid the price for us with his own blood. So we are saved by the blood. And so the Israelites were saved by the blood. And then there's a place where you get baptized. You go into the water. Your old life stays behind and you come back into the new life. And if you have not been baptized in our church yet, you'll know that we baptize people. We keep them under water for 7 minutes that the old life can die. So when they start kicking, you know it should be like that. Then we take them out and we pray for them to be resurrected. So who of you have not been baptized? We're going to baptize people afterwards. So, and then they were following the cloud during the day. So if you're nervous, it's great faith. They also had to have faith because when Moses said to them, they believed, but they had to act on their faith by walking and going, following Moses. And we many times as Christians say, we just must believe, but there's something that we have to do on what we believe. We have to act and we must walk out of bondage. And just the word that is coming here, I really believe God wants to set people free out of bondage, but we must stand up and walk and follow Moses. God, come to the water. Where now? Moses touched the water with his staff. It opens and they go through. They're baptized in the water. And so I believe we are baptized. And then they go into the desert. And they were in the desert for 40 years. And so Jesus, when he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. The Holy Spirit led him to be tempted by Satan. Jesus was tempted like us in every way, yet he did not sin. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. So there is a place when we become born again, we tell people, you just give your heart to Jesus and you're going to be super rich and it's going to be amazing for you. And that's a lie, because you're actually going to go into the desert and it's going to feel like hell to you, and it will probably be, but it's because God wants to sanctify us. He wants to purify us, that when we walk out of there, that we walk into a place of the promised land that God had called us for. Now, just with Moses, they came into the promised land through the sea, and they were in the desert, and many people were complaining and moaning, and every time God came, and he was not happy with them because they were complaining and moaning. And then they came to a place where he sent out the 12 spies. Do you know what two of their names were? Anyone? Do you know what the other 10's names were? Nobody knows, because they moaned and they complained. These 12 spies came in, 2 came back. They saw men that were quite big. If you can just look around, there's a guy there that's quite big, but I think he was small compared to what they saw. When we were in Sri Lanka, I did David and Goliath, and he had to be Goliath. It was quite fun for me. I took a young guy like that to slay the giant. But I believe what they saw were giants, and I want to show you why. But they had to overcome these giants to come into the promised land. And you come to a place where you go like, oh my word, this is impossible. I will never be able to do this. And I believe God is saying, we have to. That is what God has called us to. We have to overcome it if we want to go into the promised land. Or we are going to wait 40 years until the people who had unbelief, until they've died, so that we can go into the promised land. So I just want to show you, and now it's going to get a little bit controversial, but Jesus said, in the end days, it will be as in the days of Noah. And people will be getting married, and they will drinking and eating, and then the end will come. So it will be in the days of Noah. And what did it look like in the days of Noah? If you go to Genesis 6, verse 1 to about verse 8, it says, when man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, and in Hebrew it says the sons of Elohim, Elohim is another name for God, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they choose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years old. Because at that time, people were living 900 years old, etc. And I believe it was 900 years. It wasn't like a 900 years. I believe it was 900 years. Then verse 4 says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Now the word Nephilim is used three times in the Old Testament, and no one really knows what it means. So I just want to put that clear. We don't have evidence for what Nephilim is, but we can make deductions. And there are four different views. There's actually five. The one view that's a bit unbiblical is that it was aliens that came down, and they took women up to the spacecraft, they had children with them, and these people are like reptiles and they walk on the face of the earth. Now these, you'll find people, if you go to the internet, they've got quite compelling evidence for this as well. If you look at South America, where there's all these pyramids, and even in Egypt, those pyramids, how could men have created these things? And people say it could have been aliens that came down to earth many years ago, and they put these things because the technology behind those pyramids were unbelievable. It's no person could have made that even today. Today, I don't know how it was done. If you look at in the UK, in England, Stonehenge, like how did they do this? How could they ever have done this? So many people believe that it should have been aliens. But then there's a different, the biblical view says there are four different views. The one is fallen angels. Satan and his fallen angels came down physically, and they had communion or intercourse with women, and these women had children, and those children were at supernatural strength, and they were like these heroes from the old times. That is the one. The other one is that fallen angels and or Satan came and possessed man, and they had children with women, and these children were corrupt. They were following Satan. And then there's a Sethite view that says that there's a line from Adam, Seth to Noah that was the godly line, and these lines had children with ungodly women, and those children were corrupt. And then the last one is just that there were sons of God, those godly men that had children with ungodly women, and those children worshipped other gods. I believe, you might differ with me, but I believe that Nephilim was a breed between an angel and men. This is what I believe. You might differ with me, and just bear with me why I'm saying this, and that these people that came from this union were superhuman people. And why I'm saying this is, if you just look at Greek mythology, someone like Hercules, his father was Zeus, a god, and his mother was a queen, a woman that lived here. Where did these stories come from? All mythologies have stories of man, very strong superhuman people with special gifts, but the one was a god and the other one was a man. Is it maybe possible that it could be based on truth? I personally think it could be. If you look at the movies today, there was a movie some time ago. I didn't see it. I just watched 10 minutes of it. I'm lying. I didn't see any of it. But I know it was called Jack and the Giant Slayer. If you look at the DC comics, for example, will have Superman that is a superhuman person. Spider-Man, that it's a person that is from this world, but he's completely different. You have the X-Men, they have these special powers. And I believe there's a satanic agenda behind these movies to open ourselves up to the demonic. If you look at movies like the vampires and the werewolves, I've heard a story of a friend that I know. She's a very, very godly girl. She was in South America doing missions there for a year. And there was this very godly guy that was ministering to people, and the one man started manifesting, a demon started manifesting in him, and he started changing into a werewolf. And this man, she said, there's just the love that he had, and he prayed over this man, and he was holding him, even though these funny things started happening. I don't know to what extent, I didn't see photographs, I just listened to what she was just telling you, what she was telling me, and then this man got delivered from that. So there's an aspect of the supernatural that I believe we do not understand. And if you're saying, Theo, you are crazy, then that's fine. I don't mind that you do this morning. But I'm building a case for what the 12 spies saw. That it was maybe not guys as big as Gerard, but they could have actually been a little bit bigger. Now, what I'm showing you is not proof. There are people that say this is what they have excavated over the years. On the complete left-hand side, that 6 foot, that's what man looked like. And that there was, over times, excavations done to the size of people that could have been that size. Now, it can be a hoax. I just want to say that as well. It can be a hoax. But there is a possibility that it could be true, the truth. But it's more than likely a hoax. So I'm not saying this is the truth. I'm just saying, what if it was the truth? So you would have had men that looked like that compared to the guy on the left-hand side. And what I'm saying is, okay, let's say that is the truth. And that was what Caleb and Joshua were seeing. And when the 10 others said, we cannot go, it gives you some grace for what they were thinking. We cannot take these guys because they are massive. Okay, I just want to take you to the next scripture. Verse 5 just says, the Lord saw the wickedness of man. And I believe the wickedness was because of these fallen angels, that it was very occultic. It was blood sacrifices like you find now is happening, where people and babies are being sacrificed on altars all over, even in our country as well. I've shared with you about that General Butt Naked, who was about to sacrifice a baby when the Lord Jesus Christ stood behind him and he said, if you don't repent, you will die. And then he became a Christian, etc. So there are people who are doing terrible, terrible things. But verse 5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So they were continually thinking about evil things. Verse 6 says, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this is another story of God's redemption, that God wants to redeem man because God loves man. And I'm probably going to preach next week about that God's heart is to redeem people, to take them to come and have relationship with him. So the story is, then God said to them, go into the ark. And 7 days later, it started raining and water coming from the bottom, and the whole earth was destroyed. Now, I believe the Nephilim were destroyed as well. They were completely wiped out. Okay, now Noah starts, and they have family, and they start getting evil again. You read about Nimrod and all these people, and then you start reading about Abram, and then Abram has Jacob, and he's got Esau, and then Jacob. And then they take Joseph and they sold him as a slave, and he goes to Egypt, and then there's no food. And then the brothers go to Egypt. And 400 years later, they are in slavery to the Egyptians. And then God raised up Moses and he says, I want you to redeem my people. I want you to take them out of slavery and take them into the promised land. And now you've heard the story. I just briefly explained it earlier to you. They come into the promised land, and there's a stage in Numbers 13 where he sends out these 12 spies into the land to go and spy. And they come back and they say, this country flows with milk and honey. It's amazing. But the people are strong and the cities are fortified, and we saw descendants of Anak. We saw descendants of Anak. And I was like, okay, what is the descendants of Anak? Who are they? And then Caleb said, he quieted the people and he said to them, verse 30, let us go at once, occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it, these descendants of Anak. Then the men who gone with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than what we are. Verse 32 says, so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. They brought a bad report and they said, the land we have gone to spy out, it is a land that devours. It its inhabitants. It devours its inhabitants. So it sounds very cruel already. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. Now, is great height Gerard? Or is great height maybe a little bit taller than what Gerard is? And then they said, and there we saw Nephilim. There they saw Nephilim. This is what you saw in Genesis 6. The sons of Anak. When they talk about the descendants of Anak, the Nephilim are the sons of Anak who came from the Nephilim. And if that view is true, that Nephilim are a breed between angels, fallen angels, and women, I believe it could have, if it happened before the flood, it could have happened after the flood. If you just, I don't know if who of you saw Rosemary's Baby, can I just see any hands? But it's a movie in the late 60s of a woman who had Satan's baby. It was a very occultic movie. It won Oscars, I think, as well. I can't remember. But it, what was the producer of that movie? He was, maybe I shouldn't speak too much about him, but he was a pedophile as well. His wife got murdered by Manson. By Manson's crowd as well. She was pregnant. It happened here in the 70s, maybe before some of your time, if you can go and look at that as well. So there are people who have a desire for occultic evil stuff to happen and in sexual union as well. I believe there's a possibility that this could have happened. This could have happened again. And then they said, we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them like grasshoppers. I personally believe there's a good possibility that these people, the descendants of Anak, were very, very big people. Jude 6 and 7 says, the angels who did not stay with their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling. And then it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah that was destroyed. But even in Sodom and Gomorrah as well, the angels came to Lot to say, we are going to destroy this place. And there were men that came and said, we want to have sexual intercourse with these men. It could be that they saw them as men, or they knew that these were angels as well. So I'm just building a case that there can be activity. If you allow yourself to go too far away from God, that this is a place where one can enter. So God said to them, you had unbelief, because the people spoke and no one wanted to go and face these giants. Because of their unbelief, God said, we'll wait 40 years until all of you have died, except my servant Caleb and Joshua. But Caleb had a different spirit in him. So 40 years later, now Caleb is the new ruler. He's judging over Israel, and they come into the place. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to circumcise all the men. And it's just a circumcision. It's just a place where we surrender. For us as well, we surrender completely to God. Our hearts get circumcised where we fully follow God and not the world again. That's a decision. I think for men to be circumcised, you've got to know, I want to follow this God, because it's going to be very painful. If you are halfway, one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, this will be the ultimate decision for you. It's very much like being baptized. When people get baptized, they make a decision. I want to be completely following God. So now they all were baptized. They're still very, very much in pain. And Joshua sees this man with a sword raised above his arms like this. Joshua saw, he was at Jericho, and he overlooked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Because I believe Joshua knew what he was going to face. And now he was just seeing, because he's ready to fight now. Are you for me or are you against me? Because he's in a place where I believe he's ready to take on whatever he needs to take on. And this man said, no, I am the commander of the armies of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? I believe this commander of the armies was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Joshua fell and worshipped him, if it was an angel, he would have said, don't worship me, you must worship God only, like in Revelations as well. So I believe what he was seeing was the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us to overcome, and I just want to add to what I preached 3 weeks ago, God has called us to overcome, to conquer. We can only do this with the commander of the armies, in the commander of the armies, being drawn and know and walk in obedience to what God has called us to do. So our key here is in worship God. And this is just amazing how God sent just the words and just how to worship him this morning as well, because it's really adding to what I wanted to say, that God in our worship is where we gain strength to worship God. Now Joshua 10 verse 8, the Lord came and said to Joseph, do not fear them. Now, when he says, do not fear them, sometimes we think maybe this, but I believe, do not fear them, because they were huge. For I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Not a man of them. So the promises of God, that God has given us promises. They've given you promises that we must stand in the worship of God. God comes and he gives us promises. He gives us prophetic words. And we must stand on those words that God has given us and act on the promises that God has given to us to overcome. And then a little bit later in Joshua 11 verse 21 says, and Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim, which is the giants, the descendants of Nephilim, from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua devoted them to destruction with their cities. We are facing giants, all of us, and I believe God is saying we must get devoted to destroy the giants that is causing us not to take the promised land that God has given to us. We must be devoted to overcome these obstacles that, let's say, the devil placed in front of us so that we can take the promised land. We must be devoted to that. And then it says, there was none of the Anakim left in the land of the people of Israel. Now look at this. I just saw this morning or last night as well. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod did some remain. Gath is where Goliath comes from, and he had four brothers. You can go and check it up yourself. And I believe if we are not going to overcome these giants, our descendants, our children, will probably have to face them at some stage. Like David had to face Goliath, and these four men had to take out these other four giants. We have to destroy the giants here so that our children doesn't have to deal with it. And I think, you know, if you struggle with alcoholism, there's a good chance your children will going to struggle with it. If you have a lust problem, you're probably going to give it to your children as well. The curse of the fathers that's given to the third and fourth generation. So I believe God is saying to us here that if we don't deal with these things, we are giving it to our children, that they have to deal with those things. Just, you know, when David picked up five stones, I believe he saw five giants. And that's why he picked up five stones. He knew one stone per giant was enough for him because he knew who God was. And when he ran to him, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. There's a boldness that he came to David. Not a, ooh, arama ek ni. It's not like that. He was bold because he knew who his God was. Joshua 14 says, and now this is amazing. This is 40 years later. Now Caleb, and the Bible says Caleb had a different spirit in him. He says, verse 14, verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. The words that we speak can cause people to fall into unbelief. We can discuss all the bad things all the time, or we can speak life. And I believe this is a word for us. We must speak life and not death. We speak blessing and not cursing. We speak about the goodness of God, not what the devil is doing in our lives all the time. There's a place because it makes people's hearts melt where they go, I cannot do this anymore. And this causes us not to take the kingdom of God, not to go into the promised land because of the words that we spoke. 10 spies spoke a negative word. They brought a bad report. And all of Israel, it caused all of Israel not to go into the promised land. But Caleb said, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. Him and Caleb were the only two men that were able to go into the promised land. So for me, this is a word that we must speak life. If we see a problem in someone's life, pray about it. Pray for that person. Don't discuss it with all people all the time. Rather pray, see God in that. Now Caleb says in verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he had said, these 45 years since that time the Lord spoke this word to Moses. 45 years while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and for coming. Praise God. 85 years old. 85 years old. I was ready for them at 40. I'm ready for them at 85 years old. I will overcome them. I don't care how big they are. Even if they're that big, I will take them because God is with me. I wish I can end like this. Aritas, they are from Long and Shofar, new in our church. She had a baby on Friday night. Her water broke 6 o'clock. The baby came at 10 o'clock. She still slept at home in her bed that night. It's amazing. She really freaks me out. But her grandfather is 99 years old, and he's been praying for them every morning. He wakes up at 5 o'clock, and he prays for the family. Daniel is like 5 years old. On his birthday party, it's Rita's son, he went to the Super Tube with us to have a party with us at 99 years old to come to be a blessing to his children's children. So this word is for me, I believe, for the young and the old. To overcome is not only for the young, it's for the old, it's for all of us. Because it's not we that overcome, it's we that overcome in Christ that is in us. Joshua 14 verse 12 says, "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. And for you've heard that on that day how the Anakim were there with the great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord had said." And this is his heart. I will drive them out. And then verse 14 says, "Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel." Because he believed, he took them out, he received his inheritance. I believe he wouldn't have received his inheritance if he didn't overcome the giants that was before him. Then Joshua 15, a little bit later on, it says, "According to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, he gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the people of Judah, that is Hebron, where Arba, the father of the Anak, were. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, the descendants of Nephilim, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. He overcame them. He had a different spirit in him." I believe the key to this is where Joshua at the end of the book says in Joshua 22 verse 5, he says, "Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And these five things: to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cling to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul." That's the key that I believe for us to overcome the giants. We have to observe the commandments and the law of God. And the commandments, the law, is the word of God. We get grace by God. The grace of God is to do the commandments of God. In Christ, on the cross, God has given us the power, the authority to walk in that blessing, that we can observe and be obedient to his word. And Joshua is saying that we must love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, not halfway here and halfway in the kingdom, to keep his commandments, thou shalt not, all those things that we should not do, to cling to him, to be in the shelter of the Most High, to serve him with all our heart and all our strength. And, you know, for me, George Barna also says that the average Christian in America reads 1 minute Bible a day, but he watches 4 hours of television a day. Who are you serving? You are serving the world if you do that. You cannot come by serving. You cannot be wholly devoted to God, to cling him, to serve him, if you read Bible for 1 minute or even pray for 1 minute. This is a lifestyle of being devoted to God. And yeah, I believe this is a choice that each one must make for himself. If you don't want to overcome, you will not inherit the promised land. If you overcome, it might take time, but you will overcome. And there, I want to finish with what Joshua said in Joshua 24. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And this is the choice that I'm making. Me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Are you and your household going to serve the God? Because there are giants that we must overcome. And I'll tell you what I believe some of the giants are. The one is pride, the way we think we are better than other people. It grieves God. God says, "He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." Religion. There's a spirit of religion that we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power of God. We do all these rituals, but there's no relationship that we have with God. That's something that I believe we must overcome, because there's no freedom. There's no deliverance. You can't live in sin and live in the church. It doesn't go together, because where the presence of God is, there is total freedom from these things. Materialism. It's the love of money, loving money more than what you're loving God, even loving your children, the love of money. Poverty. I believe poverty is a giant that we are called to overcome as believers. Racism. South Africa is cursed because of this. We must overcome this giant in our country because we're all brothers. We're all descendants of Noah. We all have the same blood. We have to overcome this giant. Death. Being afraid to die. You know, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You cannot threaten a Christian with death. It's like threatening him with heaven. That he always says that. I like it. Fear. The fear of man, the fear of death, the fear of not succeeding, of failing, of being hurt, or whatever the case might be. We are so afraid. Depression and anxiety. Sleeping disorders, moodiness, rejection, being rejected as a child, being rejected by a girlfriend or a boyfriend, rejected by people, that spirit of rejection that goes on that, even divorce, yourself being divorced or your parents being divorced, that hurt that comes there, we are called to overcome that in Christ Jesus. Sicknesses. I believe sicknesses are from the pit of hell. When you get sick, it's not because you have sin in your life. Don't get me wrong. I don't say that. That's not what I'm saying. But I believe there's a place that we can overcome all these things in Christ Jesus. Curses that comes over the families, that we can, curses of poverty, curses where people die, all the men die before they're 40 years old. Those are curses. All people in my family are divorced. All people in my family are alcoholics. Those are curses that I believe God can break over our lives. Addictions to pills and drugs, maybe coffee, wine, maybe even gym. What I look like, I just want to be bigger and bigger. That can be addiction as well. Bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness are giants that I believe that God has called us to overcome. Even the occult, those are things that God has called us to overcome that we can inherit the promised land. And I just want to finish with this, that salvation is not for me making it to heaven. It's for God to transform communities. God doesn't want one person to come to Him and sing happy clappy songs. God wants to transform communities of people, that people will walk in the blessing of God. This is why all of us have such an important role to play in this community where we live, where we work, where we have parties, to have an influence, to be the light, so that darkness can be overcome, that people's thoughts and minds can change, that they can meet Christ, that their lives can change, that communities can change, that they can be a blessing on the land. I'm not sure what this man's name is, but he did a study, and each country that had missionaries in the early stages of the development of that country has a good economy. There's good schools, there's good roads, there's universities, there's good governing systems. Where missionaries were, where the presence of God was, there's blessing today. And we must trust that God comes back into South Africa as well, that we can pray in the schools again, that we can speak about Jesus in the schools, and that we don't have to be afraid to speak the truth anywhere, that we can pray in government because we know that our good God is a good God. I believe God has called us to overcome all these giants. We are going to tonight worship and have a worship service. So if you've done F4, it's going to be like that. So if there are things that you feel that you need to deal with, I want to invite you to come tonight. I'm just going to, for maybe 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes, just share what the giants are. And we're just going to trust God to just come into that place of completely surrendering to Him in the goodness of who God is. I just want to pray for us. Oh, Father, we're not sure, God, what this Nephilim means, Lord. And I understand that one day in heaven we'll probably know. And we will see, and there are many things that we will know in heaven that revealed partially to us in this world, God. But Father, what we do know is that Caleb and Joshua had to face big people, Lord God. Whether they were giants or just very big people, Lord God, we don't know, Lord. But what I do know is that You have called us to overcome. That Your word is saying that we must conquer, Lord. That that for us to inherit the promised land, we must conquer our fears. We must conquer our weaknesses, God. We must conquer all these things that stand between us and who You are. Because I truly believe You say that on the cross You have paid the price. And Lord, many times we walk even with demons in us, Lord. And we do and do choices and say things that we don't know where it comes from. But it's not from us. It's because we need to get deliverance. But Lord, and I pray that You are the God that delivers. You are the God that takes Your people out of bondage into freedom. And that Your heart is not for us to spend 40 years in the desert, but it should take the promised land. And Father, I pray, Lord, by your grace, Lord, that you will inspire us, Lord, that you will pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, God, that we can walk in the fullness of what you have called us, Lord, that your kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Father, we just want to praise your name, Lord. And just while every eye is closed, and maybe I'm speaking things, and you feel in your heart, you know this might be something more for you, and you want to surrender to Christ. You know your life is empty, and you cannot live like this anymore. And maybe you've been struggling with things, and I've said things, and it caused you to your heart to run fast, and you know that you cannot live. You're in a spiral and you're going down, and you know you have to change your life, and you want to turn to God. And God says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And you this morning want to be saved. You want to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone like that this morning, and you just want to make a decision for Jesus, if you want to raise your hand that I can pray with you, is there anyone like that? This is just a friendly invitation for you. And then if there are anyone here who wants prayer, we want to pray with you. Maybe you can't be here tonight, but you know there are giants that you are facing, and you can't overcome it, and you need someone to pray with you. We just want to give you the opportunity to come forward, that we can pray with you. For the rest of you, we're going to just dismiss the service. Those who want to come forward, please do. For those who want to go, you're more than welcome to go. We have coffee and tea in the back. And may the Lord really bless you, and may you walk in the fullness of who God is, and that you may seek God's blessing on your life, and that you would walk in really the fullness of what God has called us for. And that when we are 85 years old, we can say, I was ready at 40 to take them, now at 85, I'm still ready to take them, to go forward and to go and to come as the Lord wants me to go. May God bless all of you in Jesus' name.